Okay. I'm gonna call this meeting to order. Would you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance in a moment of silence?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Ms. Clay, can you call the roll?
Mr. Carter?
Present.
Dr. Crowe?
Present.
Superintendent Douglas?
Present.
Ms. Hamilton?
Here.
Dr. Rottweiler? Mr. Schmidt?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Vice President Ballantyne?
Here.
President Miller?
Here. Okay. Well, obviously, we have a quorum. All right. First item on the agenda is a presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the consideration to fill the position of the executive director, including consideration of the recommendations of our executive director hiring committee regarding the finalist, Carol Schmidt, and the superintendent's recommendations made by her on October 8th, letter to myself and to the vice president. The
President?
Madam Superintendent.
May I ask a question, please?
Absolutely.
Can I ask, when was a meeting held to choose the finalist as an employee of the department? Because I received a call about 3 hours ago from Dr. Schmidt saying that she was the replacement for Ms. Thompson. So I'm kind of wondering when the meeting was held that approved that action.
As the finalist?
As the employee of the Department of Ed.
So we haven't made that decision. That's before the board right now. She was identified as our finalist and the one that we would be making the recommendation for.
Okay.
At our last hiring committee meeting.
Okay, well, that's not what was represented to me, to my staff. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss a meeting earlier today.
No.
Mr. President?
Mr. Vice President.
And just for factual stuff, it's not the executive director of the department, it's of the state board.
You shall be an employee of the Department of Ed.
Okay. Are there any questions that any of the board members have about the recommendations that are currently before us? Seeing none.
President Miller.
Yes, Mr.
How about
Member
maybe
Taylor.
A 15, 30 second review of the process and.
Sure. We had basically we posted this through the Department of Administration, and we had 61 applicants, of which the committee met and reviewed all of the resumes at its first meeting, and based on those resumes, we then. Scheduled 4 interviews in 2 different meetings. Actually, I think we did 2 meetings of resume review before we made, before we started the interviewing process. And we had 2 meetings of interviews. And at the end of the interviewing process, there was one candidate that the entire committee, minus the superintendent, felt was the strongest qualified candidate that we had received. And we went into an open session and moved that to bring it before the board. So that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
Mr. President.
Madam Superintendent.
I would just like to make one comment. You commented that I did not participate in the hiring committee, and I'd like to be very clear that the hiring committee is not compliant with law, and it seems that the board keeps mixing my duties as a board member and my duties as a constitutional executive elected officer of this state. And the board can't grant, nor can the board remove my statutory duties, which includes the recommendation, the interviewing, and all the processes involved with hiring a staff member for ADE to serve the board.
I believe that we have gone to court over that issue, and currently round one went to the board, and round two is in process.
Well, the courts didn't rule on the law, as you are well aware.
Yeah, and to your question, you know, because I think it's a good one by way of the process, I will tell you as one of, I guess, four members of the committee, one's on the phone, the other three are here. I think I was really both surprised and pleased that there were that many applicants for the position, Jared. I mean, it really was. I didn't know what to expect, but, you know, there were really a significant number, number one. Number two, I will tell you that the process also included reviewing lots of paper, the resumes, reviewing them thoroughly. We were each given that assignment. And then at the first meeting, we kind of screened and put them in groups that we four could agree were, oh, wow, this is really outstanding, or great people, but maybe not the experience that we're looking for, et cetera. And then in the interviews, I don't know who decided that this was going to be done, but it was a good idea. Each candidate was asked exactly the same questions, at least at the beginning, by the four of us who were assigned to those certain questions, and then it opened up so that we got a fair look at candidates responding to inquiries of ours, which we thought were very important to the position. So it was a time-consuming, but it was worthwhile. And when we finally came upon the finalist, it was, to some extent, as I recall, others may want to comment, it was kind of like, oh, wow, we have that person. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not quite sure what the process was after that by way of clearances and references, et cetera. But it was very clear, given this person's background, that it would serve the state board well, and we can... and somebody we can rely upon to get the important work of this board done. I don't know if that helps, but that
agreed.
And I know that Chuck is on the phone, who I will tell you was not dressed any differently than he would be had he been here.
If there are additional questions that we haven't covered that somebody wants to know, Kelly Hutchinson is here from the Department of Administration, who basically handled the entire process for us.
Mr. President, I think Mr. Member Schmidt wanted to make a comment as well.
Yes, Mr. Member Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I just would echo the conversation that's been had already as to what occurred. It was a very thorough process. The only question that I have is the superintendent again brings up a question of law, and is there, again, I apologize, I'm in Sholo, and then Flagstaff tomorrow for our standards committee hearings, so I apologize for not being there. But is there any feedback as to any concerns with regard to the process to date and us moving forward with Ms. Schmidt as the director?
If the question is directed to me and to our legal counsel, the answer to that question is no.
Mr. President, if you want legal advice, we would have to go into executive session.
Well, and I'd certainly, Mr. President, like to address that. There's certain...
Going into executive session, or...
No, answering the question.
Okay.
Certainly, one of the issues here, and to Dr. Schmidt's credit, she is highly overqualified for this position. What the board seems to be missing is this position is support staff to help facilitate the meetings and the work of the board, not to predetermine on behalf of the board the direction, its decisions, its rulemaking, and its determinations should go. So, again, Dr. Schmidt's resume is very, very impressive, certainly for an associate superintendent at the department or even as a member of this board to fill a policy-making role. But that's not what we're talking about for this position. This is a staff position. So... certainly, it's not in line, and the process, the committee process, was not in line with what's in statute.
Again, I point out that's your opinion. It's not ours, nor is it our legal counsel's opinion. So
it's just the law of Arizona.
No, it's your interpretation of the law.
I can read it right here.
Yeah. Can I?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that what we'll do is, rather than have any more of the he said, she said, go on and on and on, I'm going to ask
for those of you on the phone, Greg is writing a thesis.
No, he's not. I'm going to ask Ms. Hamilton if she wouldn't mind reading the motion.
Having considered the recommendations of the superintendent and the board's hiring committee, I move that the board hire Ms. Carol Schmidt to serve as the board's executive director at a salary within the established range for this position and pursuant to ARS 15-25-2514 and 5, direct the superintendent to recognize that if and when she begins her work on the board staff, she shall be an employee of the State Board of Education and the Department of Education, and the Department of Education shall cooperate with the board and board staff to ensure that Dr. Schmidt can fulfill her responsibilities as the board's executive director.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any comment?
Hi, this is Michael Crow. I have a comment or a question. I'm not exactly sure. I guess I'd like to hear from the, and is the candidate in the room? Is Dr. Schmidt in the room?
Yes, they are. She is.
Perhaps the four members of the search committee could comment on an issue that if I had been a member of the search committee, I would have asked, and perhaps it could be answered, and that is, I noticed on Dr. Schmidt's resume that she has extensive experience in multiple levels of education, but also in multiple types of education. And one of the types of educational activity that she has experience in is in the for-profit modality. The for-profit institutions have various various types of outcomes right now, some of which are good, some of which are the opposite of good. And so I don't know if the issue of for-profit versus not-for-profit educational experience and the differences associated with both were discussed by the search committee or not, but I'd be interested in hearing from the search committee whether or not these issues were addressed. And the reason I say these things is that it's like apples and oranges in many ways. These are very, very different sectors, very, very different purposes. And some people can move back and forth between these sectors very easily, and some people cannot.
Member Crow, the search committee did not get into any detail on that process, but we did ask penetrating questions as to the job as posted and the expected activities that she would be responsible for, and felt very comfortable with all of the answers as it would pertain to K-12. but I'm going to let Dr. Schmidt come to the microphone and respond to your question directly. Thank you.
President Miller, Vice President Ballantyne, Superintendent Douglas, members. In response to the question from Dr. Crow, the outcomes I can speak to in terms of my latest work at Grand Canyon University with teacher preparation are very similar to what we'd be dealing with in a public sector. Our programs of study are reviewed by ADE and subject to board approval. We also are in the process of submitting our programs of study to outside accreditors on a national level, specialized professional associations, as well as we're pursuing a CAPE accreditation process. When I was at the law school many years ago, we went through the same process that a public law school would go through in terms of accreditation by the American Bar Association. And I also have experience in the public setting, having been a public school teacher.
Right, and so, yeah, I gathered that from your resume, which, you know, I think is impressive, so don't get me wrong. It's just there's a different logic in a profit-seeking creature. And so I understand the accreditation and so forth. So the law school, for instance, what do you estimate is the percentage of students that graduate from the law school that you were a part of that actually passed the bar in Arizona?
The first group of students I worked with had a 97% pass rate. That was our first class that graduated, the charter class. The next group, I had an assistant director that worked with that group. We did have a dip on those numbers. I returned to leading the program for our third administration. We had the highest pass rate again in the state, above ASU and U of A, of over 80%. And I don't recall on the top of my head what the fourth pass rate was.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Miller, I have a question for Dr. Schmidt.
Mr. Superintendent.
Dr. Schmidt, reading your resume, this position is a staff position that prepares meetings and documents for this board to meet and this board to make decisions of education. I can't help but wonder if you understand that and why. I mean, your resume truly is amazing. Why you would want to step to that from that role to a staff position?
President Miller, Vice President Ballantyne, Superintendent Douglas. I appreciate the comments about my background.
It's amazing.
During the interview process, I made it clear to the board that my mother instilled in me at a very young age to live a life of service. I believe I can be of service to the board and its mission to foster excellence in education. I started off my professional career as an attorney. I later pursued a second career and a second life in education, went back to school to be a teacher. And I see my role with the board is to keep the board informed on the impact of its decisions, whether they're yes decisions or no decisions on policy that comes before it. And I look forward to working with all members of the board.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay. The call for the question. Roll call vote, please.
Go ahead.
Mr. Carter? Aye.
Dr. Crow?
Yes.
Superintendent Douglas?
No, and I would like to explain my vote for the record in the minutes. I first want to make it very clear, with all due respect to Dr. Schmidt, that as superintendent who is legally vested with bringing recommendations for hire to the board, that I recommend neither Dr. Schmidt nor do I recommend this position. This is not for the committee's filling. This whole board service needs to be restructured. I've recommended a renaming of the position, a reconstituting the salaries in being paid to people to basically put together an agenda and run some number of meetings. a year is an insult to the taxpayers of Arizona. The best estimate we have is about $250,000 for three staff people. Dr. Schmidt, you're way overqualified for the job you've applied for, and I think that's a credit to you that your resume is so amazing, but this is not the position, nor is this the person, so this is not the recommendation of the superintendent that this board is voting on.
Next member.
Ms. Hamilton?
Aye.
Mr. Jacks?
Aye.
Mr. Schmidt?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Vice President Ballantyne?
Aye, and I'd like to make a comment on my vote if I might. Just very briefly, with the commentary you heard during this, I applaud you having to stand before the four of us when we were giving you some pretty tough questions, but your competence, your passion, your orientation to service, and your qualifications, in my view, meeting the needs that we have, I applaud you on all of that.
President Miller?
Aye.
I do not believe Dr. Rotweiler is on the phone, so.
Okay. He's not, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. I have 8-1. Therefore, the motion passes.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, Dr. Schmidt. All right. Item 2, item B, presentation and discussion of possible action regarding the 2015 and 2016 State Board of Ed calendar of regular meetings. We handed out where did it go?
Mr. President, the calendar that was distributed to the board includes the regular meetings that has previously been scheduled, with no meeting in November and a meeting on December 7th, and then meetings in throughout 2016, which generally occur on the fourth Monday of each month, excluding July and November. The board may wish to consider, considering your staff is extremely short-staffed, potentially a change in the December meeting to allow your staff to come on board to provide any support that's necessary in the gathering of information and providing the board with any additional support for that December meeting.
Okay. I'd like to hear from the board. If we were to move the December meeting to, let's say, 2 weeks to the 21st, would that be an issue for attendance of board members?
The 21st of December?
Mm-hmm.
4 days?
Yes.
Yeah.
15, this year, right?
I'm talking about, yeah.
15.
Yes,
2015. This is Mr. Schmidt.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Mr. President, members of the board, I think that's a great idea. I'd like to welcome Dr. Schmidt. I think she's got a great last name. but I would like to say that I'm all in favor of that, to let her get started. There's a lot of catch-up to do. And with all of the things besides scheduling meetings that we're involved in with regard to the Shanders Committee and everything else, I think it's important that she has an opportunity to dive in, and I have all the confidence in the world by the 21st that she will be able to do that. So I would be in support of moving that December 7th meeting to December 21st.
Thank you.
Still at 9 a.m. or maybe at 10?
We could move it to 10.
No, I'm...
Mr. President, Roger Jacks.
Yes, Mr. Jacks.
I'm all in favor of the December 21st meeting as well, and would like to welcome aboard Dr. Smith.
Thank you. Did anyone have a problem with the 21st?
Mr. President.
Superintendent.
At this point, I'll have to check my calendar for December 21st, but as the executive officer and secretary of this board, I would like to make the board aware of Arizona Revised Statute 15202A that states the State Board of Education shall hold 4 regular meetings annually at times it directs. Special meetings may be held on the call of the providing officers. So based on that statutory limitation, I would move that we move the December meeting to the 21st as a regularly scheduled meeting, then deem for 2016 the March 28th, the June 27th, the September 26th, and the December 5th the 4 regular meetings that the board is allowed to hold.
Are you making that as a motion?
I move that.
Okay. Is there a second?
President, I can second that. I do have a question, though. If that, does that restrict us on any of those dates for meeting as a joint technical body? I don't know the proper name of that, but we need to meet a couple of times a year in that technical advisory.
The Career and Technical, the Vocational Education Board,
right.
Those meetings are held jointly with the State Board of Education, but I would like to point out that while the statute requires the minimum number of meetings that the board must have set at 4, this board has had 10 regular meetings throughout the year, limiting board meetings to 4 times a year would be extremely difficult, both on issues regarding grant acceptance, issues regarding discipline matters. As you know, you receive somewhere between 6 and 10 discipline matters at each board meeting, and your board meeting will last much longer than the half a day we generally have if you move to 4 meetings during the year. I just want to raise that issue with the board.
President Miller,
Mr.
my understanding is we'll still continue to meet. They'll just be special sessions rather than regular. It's really a label change to align with the statute is the way I understand it. But if I'm misunderstanding that, then I would probably pull my second on that. But my understanding is all these dates will stay. They're just relabeling the title to align with this wording.
Well, and I would be willing to amend the motion to adopt the other dates as special meetings.
Right.
Any other comment? If none, I'm going to make a comment on this particular motion. The board has, as our executive director pointed out, the board has established a pattern of minimum of 10 regular meetings per year, all the way through, and made it very clear. The issue of 4 is one of minimum, not mandatory, and quite frankly, I want all of these meetings to be a regular meeting of the board, not special meetings as we go through. So I would not be supporting this motion at all.
Mr. President.
Mr. Carter.
Thank you. May I ask legal counsel for their view from the standpoint of, are we limited to 4? Is that a minimum number? Can you please clarify?
My name's Leslie Cooper. I'm here in Kim Anderson's absence. I think that that's a minimum number of meetings. It's not a maximum. So you could continue in the practice of the 10 regular meetings. To be candid, I would require about 5 minutes to ensure that there isn't some difference between the special and regular meetings that you would want to be cognizant of, since that's not been the board's practice during the time that I've been at the Attorney General's office.
Could you read the statute?
Yes, Member Jacks.
I would really like to see us continue with the meetings that we have as scheduled meetings. I think that the community, the educational community, as well as the community as a whole. Looks forward to the assurance of having those meetings on given dates and the agendas. And in the time that I've served on the board, we certainly have plenty of work to do each one of those months.
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, I support what Member Jacks just said. I had no idea we'd be fussing about meetings. It's worked as a practice in the past. I think unless we find there's something illegal by Attorney General's office, are you?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Unless you find some reason why we shouldn't just continue the practice, I would just like to continue the practice that's worked. And we have no problem getting quorums and stuff.
Mr. President.
Mr. Carter.
Thank you. I'd like to ask legal counsel if they're confident in their review or they would like to take 5 minutes. And if so, I would ask the chair to allow you to take that time.
I'd rather take that time, please.
Did you want us to be quiet?
You can
chair,
go on to the next thing.
Give legal counsel a few minutes.
We'll take a 5 minute break here and give legal counsel the opportunity to do a quick research.
Mute the microphones while we're in this. But there, those who are on the phone, your comments will still be recorded.
Let me ask you, are there other issues after this meeting issue?
Yes, President Crow. The legal staff is checking into whether there's any statutory prohibitions regarding special meetings, and we'll be back within 5 minutes.
But are there issues after that?
There is one issue that's just an announcement from President Miller, potentially of a committee, but that might be dealt with at the next meeting. So this is the only item, Dr. Crow, that would require a vote.
I'm going to exit because I'm not going to vote.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Crow. And Dr. Crow's left the meeting at 5:09. Mr. President, whenever you're ready, legal counsel is prepared to answer.
I'm going to pull us all back here and pull us back into our meeting. And Lynn, we're looking forward to your comments.
Oh, sure. President, Vice President, Superintendent, members of the board, thanks for your forbearance there. The statute does require at least four meetings. The rule, R72102, indicates that meetings will be held on the fourth Monday of each month, in a place designated by the president. The statute doesn't limit you to four meetings a month. The practice of this board for many years has been to have 10 regular meetings. The idea of a regular meeting connotes a regular time at which one can expect specific kinds of business to regularly be transacted, whereas a special meeting connotes that you might be meeting for just a few purposes as you are today or have on other occasions with respect to special meetings. I think that might cause unnecessary confusion for the public, and it might also, in terms of scheduling, if you're going to schedule four regular meetings and six special meetings, I think that you're going to create confusion again. What's different about these six special meetings than the four regular meetings? What business is being conducted at one and not the other? What differences are there with respect to open meeting law? I think that those are questions, particularly with respect to open meeting law, that there is no difference. Your obligations are always going to be the same in terms of handling notice. I think that your practice to date has the 10 regular meetings allows the public to understand how the board will conduct its business, which is very important. It creates certain expectations. And so without a clear indication that things should be done differently and perhaps for the discussion, I would say that the current practice and the present motion, not the present motion, but the proposal with respect to the 10 regular meetings is sufficient.
Thank you.
May I ask a question, please, Mr. President?
Madam Superintendent.
So, and I certainly understand about the practice of the board, and I certainly understand that the more openness we can have in meetings, the better it is. But the statute, for some reason, the legislature has said that this board shall hold four meetings. So wouldn't it be incumbent upon this board to work legislatively to be allowed more freedom from the legislature?
Well, I think that the fact that it must hold four meetings doesn't prevent it from holding more regular meetings.
So statute doesn't mean what it says?
Well, it says that you must hold four, and if you were to hold three, I think that there could be an action against the board.
Okay.
Mr. Vice President.
I think that I put the word practice aside for the moment. We've got a lot of work to do. It can't be done in four meetings. I don't want to skinny down the work, do imperfect work, and not meet our obligations to the students and the parents and the schools. So I think if there's been a practice and the practice has worked, trying to jam all this into four meetings, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. So if we're okay, and you're the Assistant Attorney General, and you're supposed to know, and I accept that, then let's just leave it alone.
There is a motion on the floor, and it's been seconded.
President.
Member Taylor.
With that clarification, I'd like to withdraw the second so we can move forward.
Okay. All right. Then I need a motion to move the December 7th meeting, 2015, to the 21st.
And Mr. President, is that to move the December 7th meeting to December 21st, 2015, and to adopt the other dates in 2016 as presented?
I'm going to do that separate.
Okay.
Mr. President, this is Member Schmidt. I would move to bring forward the December 7th meeting to the 21st December 2015.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Move the meeting from the 7th to the 21st.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
Will we be exchanging gifts at that meeting?
I've already given you one. You've never worn it, so what? I mean, you know, what do you want?
Yeah, but the problem is, but I've seen it.
All right, proposed schedule for regular meetings for 2016 include January 25th, February 22nd, March 28th, April 25th, May 23rd, June 27th, August 22nd, September 26th, October 24th, and December 5th. I need a motion to adopt.
So moved, Roger Jackson.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments? I have one. I'm going to be out of state on the 28th. Can we move that one to the 21st?
Of March.
Of
Mr.
March.
President.
Quick check. You okay? You're right.
Okay.
Then I would make an amendment to the motion to change the March 28th meeting to March 21st.
I'll move that for you.
Thank you. And a second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt January 25th, February 22nd, March 21st, April 25th, May 23rd, June 27th, August 22nd, September 26th, October 24th, and December 5th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none. That's the calendar for next year.
Okay, great.
Okay. The third item on the agenda was there in case this became the last meeting of December. Since we're going to have one on the 21st, I'm going to strike item C to be done at the December 21st meeting. Move forward.
Does that mean we can go now?
Somebody wants to move that we adjourn.
So move.
Any second? Second. Been moved and second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, hearing none, we are now adjourned.
Meeting adjourns at 5:18.